Movie news.
Yes!
Rumors and rumblings.
That's awesome!
Let the filibustering begin.
All right, Mim Fam, it's that time of the week, bi-weekly, tri-weekly, however often we're able to do this, for news, rumors, rumblings, roundup. And there's a few things to dive into here. We got a little bit of trailer talk. We've got a Netflix series announcement, and we've got a Netflix big blockbuster movie announcement that we're going to talk about. Of course, we'll get to weekly recommends at the end, so stay tuned for that. Obviously, a lot to talk about this week on the recommend side of things, but boys, welcome in Brian, Richard, to another edition of the Mad About Movies Rumors, Rumblings, Roundup, Jamboree, Extravaganza.
Mm.
How are we doing?
I'm only here for rumblings, as always.
I'm only not here for jamborees.
Rumors.
So that evens out.
Yeah. Big jamboree guy.
We'll start things out, guys. And this is, I don't know, I guess relevant in numerous ways to the podcast. And this could go any which way in terms of conversation. Man, did you guys see the Space Jam trailer?
Did I? Oh,
Brian,
only 40 times.
Take the solo obviously. Pod for the rest.
Big fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched it.
A new legacy, I should say.
It's it's Ready Player Braun. That was the overworked Twitter joke of the week.
Ready Player Box. Six. That was mine. Yeah.
It definitely looks that way. Look, I will say this. I'm not that excited about Space Jam movie. I wasn't, I've watched the original Space Jam as an adult, so I know what to expect from this version, I imagine. But I will tell you that I showed it to my 8-year-old and he lost his mind. So there's a target audience if my son is any and his little buddies are any indication, it is going to hit the target market correctly. So that's the important part with this kind of movie. And as somebody who's like super into sports and whose kid is not really, anything that I can do that will like push him in even slightly in a sport direction, then I'm happy with it. So he's marked his calendar. He's counting down the days. He can't wait to go see Space Jam: A New Legacy. So I'm happy that it's happening, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Richard, did you see the trailer?
I did. I thought the animation looked pretty cool in parts. It seems like a total mess in a good way. Like just a ton of different things going on at once. It seems like kids will love it, and that's who it's for. And you know, I'll watch it. I'll watch it once probably, and have a little nostalgia for the original. And you know, the original is a movie I liked quite a bit as a kid. Obviously, loved basketball growing up. Still love basketball. Loved Michael Jordan. I loved the Looney Tunes growing up. I wasn't a big Disney kid, but I was a huge Looney Tunes fan as a child. But as much nostalgia as I have from that movie, I don't know if I've seen it more than once in the last 30 years, 25 years, whatever. Since I stopped, whenever I put that VHS away for the last time, I may have seen it once since. So it's not one that, but I'll definitely check it out. Obviously I will, because we do this show, but I'm saying let's remove that. Yeah, I'll give it a view. It'll be fun. I expect some really cringy acting and some funny, meta Looney Tunes stuff and some cool animation basketball action. And apparently a heart, we've got to save our son, subplot or main plot, and we'll move on.
Just need Bill Murray to show up. That's the important part to me.
If he doesn't,
I want it to be
Wayne Knight.
I want Joel Murray to show up. I want him to pass it along. Not Brian Doyle though.
Perhaps I could be.
He's getting too much shine. Yeah.
we've had that that drop of Bill Murray entering in Space Jam as the intro of our podcast, literally for 8 years. By the way, that's him coming into the game in Space Jam, by the way. So what is LeBron doing voluntarily entering himself in this LeBron versus MJ conversation?
Oh, that's LeBron's deal, man.
Yeah, he's been obsessed with that.
I guess. It's like, it's just hilarious to me. It's another thing that we're going to compare LeBron James and Michael Jordan to. It's like, oh yeah, they both literally did Space Jam movies as well. Now we compare their acting and their interaction with Bugs Bunny, and
I'm just hyped for Space Jam 3 with LaMelo Ball.
Oh, I can't wait. Luca.
If only we can get a LeVar cameo. Because if there's anyone that I think would thrive in the Looney Tunes universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He almost fits there already.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he walks and stuff. Yeah.
Well, they might not have gotten Bill Murray for this, but they did get noted comedian Don Cheadle to replace him.
Yeah. He's from the funniest House of Lies, the funniest show.
You're going to like, we need a comedic sidekick to LeBron. Mm-hmm. You call Don Cheadle.
It's either him.
You look at the Emmys from the past few years and you're like, who has consistently been nominated for best comedic actor the most? And it's either Jim Parsons or Don Cheadle. And they're like,
or William H. Macy. Cheadle.
Yeah. Right.
Or William H. Macy
couldn't get John Cryer. So I had to move on.
His joke telling and shameless.
Well, they couldn't get John Cryer. A lot of people are probably wondering why, because LeBron is he's a Nike guy and John Cryer's Adidas. So they could just because, you know, the shoe companies run everything.
Couldn't logistically. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you. I think the animation looks awesome. I mean, the Looney Tunes stuff looks great. I hope I hope a majority of it is in animation. I hate to say that, but I think the 2D stuff looks awesome. I think even the 3D stuff towards the end of the trailer, like in the actual basketball game stuff, looks good. But you touched on something, Richard, that I think was different for us when we saw Space Jam, is that it was a combination of these things of Michael Jordan, who we loved, and Looney Tunes that we also loved. So
that's the part I was curious about with you, Brian. Yeah. So that resonated with Coop. That's cool, because I didn't think he would even
Bugs Bunny and Daffy. I mean, he's down for it,
right? The Looney Tunes have very little cachet anymore, and that's
right.
I mean, there's a myriad reasons for that, but he loves Space Jam. He really likes that movie a lot. He's watched it a bunch, and so I mean, I think that's a huge part of it. Is just he recognizes the property. I don't know how. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know how common that is for 8-year-olds. I mean, that's just a movie that he really latched onto at some point, and he's watched a ton of times. So I think it's partly that, but there was when The Last Dance was on last year, we'd see ads for it or whatever, and he was like, "Is that the guy from Space Jam?" You know, I mean, that's how he knows Michael Jordan, and it's another one of those things again where I love sports, Coop not as big of a deal, and so I kind of tried to use that as like, yeah, it is the guy from Space Jam, and also without really bogging you down with dad talk, here's a 2-minute video of Michael Jordan highlights on YouTube. Like, let's try to introduce this while we can. But yeah, he's super into the property of it all, and I think, and watching the trailer, he kind of pointed out some of the Warner Brothers character references. There's obviously not all of them. He's not a big Clockwork Orange guy yet. That's a weird part of this.
No, trailer. He is.
Not sure what, but he loves it.
According to the watch history on your account, he's pretty into it. Unless that's you, and you need to tell us.
Always between 3 and 5 a.m. It's weird.
Yeah. he's not into Looney Tunes, but he's super into Clockwork Orange, the Flintstones. Mm-hmm. And in the Iron Giant and Game of Thrones.
Just a big Malcolm McDowell guy overall, which I understand.
He loves CPK.
He does. He likes, big CPK guy.
They share that.
Yeah, no, he was kind of
childlike wonderment around CPK.
exactly. But Iron Giant and some of those others that you recognize in the trailer, he's like, oh, look at those guys. So, I mean, he can't wait. So if he is any indication of 8-year-olds across the country, I think they've done a good job marketing on this one.
I wonder what it would have looked like at the end without Ready Player One being a thing, or whether they were influenced by that, or that's just people's frame of reference for it, or if that was what it was going to be all along with all the characters at the end and that thing in what's in the trailer. I'm excited to see how they can reference the original, what they play on, if the Quad City DJs are involved at all, how are you going to replicate that soundtrack, man?
I know.
R. Kelly's gone.
That was the biggest, biggest letdown of that trailer, I think, was the music was pretty lame.
All the, you know, it's simple, guys. All you have to do is bring the original theme back. Everybody get up. It's that's all you got to do.
Right.
So yeah. It's awesome.
Maybe a different artist.
Everyone
different
gets
singer
hyped.
For Everyone's I Believe hyped. I Can Fly, I'd say. I'd maybe get a different singer. But otherwise, yeah. Just recreate the album.
Seal's still around. Steel can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it. Do we'll another Steve Miller
I'm
cover.
I'm sure the Quad City DJs are available. I'll just go ahead and say if they need somebody.
Everybody
to
get up. I remember being in the theater to see Space Jam, the original one, and that opening montage with that song and like all the highlights of Jordan.
Yes.
I was so freaking pumped. Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I like me and my friend went home and like he had a trampoline and we were trampolining dunking for like the next 3 days trying to do the Michael Jordan final scene dunk.
Absolutely. It's a huge, I mean, great, honest to goodness, like great marketing effort on Jordan's part and his entire team. And then, you know, to use basically to get Warner Brothers to build a practice facility for him so he could just remind all these NBA guys that he was coming back. Like what a baller move. We goodness.
That was, it's awesome in there too, how he's just playing golf and baseball too, like the whole time, and how he used it. Yeah. He used it for a jumping off point. So what will LeBron reveal that he's going to pursue professional baseball at the end?
He always says he could play. He could be a football player. Always says he could have been a tight end or whatever. So
my gosh,
I guess. I mean, he's freaking huge. Maybe he should try it. But I had a feeling that at 36 or whatever, it's probably a little late. Probably a little late to try that out.
Yeah, man. The animation looks great. So I'm excited. Yeah, it looks like a lot. Excited for that aspect of it. But man, this feels like overdue. I mean, I guess it almost feels Snyder Cut-esque because I don't know how many freaking fan posters I had seen of Space Jam 2 of LeBron for like the last 10 years, you know, and this is finally a thing. Ryan Coogler involved on the production side. So yeah, it could be really fun. I'm sure it's going to make a ton of money. That's for sure. It's coming out on HBO Max as well.
Sure. They've got good, I mean, they're smart to get Coogler involved I think it could be. I think it could be pretty fun. LeBron was good in that Amy Schumer movie. I can't remember what the
Trainwreck.
That movie was. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. He's pretty solid in that. So it's not like you have to be DiCaprio or something to make this
be
work.
Be cool if you were though.
But Michael Jordan was pretty much Daniel Day-Lewis though.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's a high bar. Daniel Day-Lewis.
It's
culturally inappropriate now, but in 96. Did an incredible job.
Yeah. I want to see DiCaprio though get sucked into DiCaprio's on a yacht with like 19 year olds and he's gets sucked up into a weird server room and they're like, you gotta, you know, save the universe by playing basketball. And he's like, I don't really play basketball. I can probably find someone that does. And they're like, sorry, we're very specific about how we save the universe in this. You gotta hoop.
That's I want to take bets. Bring you a teammate. It's Tobey Maguire. So
he's like, oh no.
Who's somebody that kids love that's going to show up at the end of this game like Bill Murray did? Because they have to do that in this movie. Who's it going to be?
Charlie Sheen, who? Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Charlie Sheen. Yeah. Yeah. Diane Wiest.
Betty White. Yeah. Now. It's going to be somebody super random that they know. Like that most
Jake Paul.
Yeah, I was gonna say PewDiePie.
Sorry about some of the Nazi stuff. It was accidental, but I am in Space Jam 2.
Well, I'm sure that there's gonna be a lot to love here for the younger generation, and hopefully some nostalgia. Hopefully, Bill Murray does show up at some point. All right, or Larry Bird, maybe. Larry
or Bird. Both.
Charles Barkley. Yeah. Well. Another thing I wanted to talk about, speaking of sports movies, guys, we got a big announcement today for a sports movie. It's coming into Netflix.
Oh, I forgot about this.
And it stars Kevin James. Mm-hmm. And it's not Here Comes the Boom 2. It is.
Because no one listens to my freaking letters.
I know.
Yeah.
It is. They're doing a movie. And get this is real. This is actually happening. If you're listening to this, I'm not making this up. You can look it up.
Yeah, someone spent money on this.
Mm-hmm. They're making a movie of when Sean Payton, the head coach of the Saints, the NFL, was kicked out of the NFL for a year because of Bounty Gate. Mm-hmm. Bounty Gate being in the locker room, coaches that were on his team, Sean Payton's team, were basically paying players to hurt other players on the other team, mm-hmm. or saying, hey, if you knock Tom Brady out of the game, that's $1,000. And they were actually doing this. So the NFL found out Sean Payton was suspended for a season. Sean Payton goes home to Fort Worth, Texas, says, hey, I'm pretty bored. I'm going to coach my son's middle school team because I want to do something in football and I can't coach the NFL. You can't coach in college, obviously. So that's the next best thing. And so he did it for a year and then came back to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So here they are.
Can we talk about that for a second? Like, I want to say this. I felt like Bounty Gate was overblown, so whatever. Mm-hmm. It's always weird to me when we're like, this guy, it can't be trusted to coach adults. But, yeah, he can coach high school. That's fine. Art Briles, I mean, I let a whole lot of rapes and bad things happen on my watch, but I could probably coach football in Mount Vernon in the high school. Like, that's fine, right? Like, nobody's going to be upset about that. Right. It's such a weird thing, man. Like, it's so weird that he did this for... I don't blame him. Like, I'm sure he was bored out of his mind, and hey, this is an opportunity to connect with your kid,
right,
which you never do when you're coaching the NFL.
And call offenses and keep your mind sharp, at least thinking about football in some way.
But it's just weird that anybody was okay with that.
Right.
Like, I mean, aren't you suspended for like pretty gross stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, maybe
this isn't the best. Well, all that to say, it won't surprise Richard and I on why it was okay, because true story, the school that Sean Payton went to, coach at, was the rival school of the school Richard and I went to in high school. And like literally like our school lived to beat this school at everything. Like, we printed shirts every game. We would like cancel class and like everybody would go there. And it was like a big thing. And so it doesn't surprise me that they would hire him, Brian.
Yeah, my lone athletic claim to fame was my senior year, senior night in basketball. At the end of the first quarter, Richard Barden 12, Liberty Christian 10.
Right.
Don't even.
The best.
That's funny. And it's funny now that their head coach is Jason Witten, former Cowboy great, is now their head coach.
Former Monday Night Football.
Former Monday Night Football great.
Sir.
Former Raider great.
How would you rank those?
Push-up champ of the world.
Yeah.
Guinness World Record.
I would rank his time at Monday Night Football ahead of his time with the Raiders, probably even. That was pretty rough.
What about his last year with the Cowboys?
Richard
and I used to do a bit where, and I think it annoyed Kent. I don't know if you certainly did not seem to enjoy it, Kent, but when you worked for the Cowboys, Richard and I did this bit that Jason Witten was the most like try hard. Yeah. Yes,
we
sir.
All had
yes, sir.
Those
kind
on
of
our
guy.
Even use sports teams where it's the kid that's like, coach, I don't think we ran enough today, sir.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're like, everyone.
Sorry,
else,
I dropped the ball, sir. I'll do 400 pushups right now, sir. And it's like,
yeah, the rest of the team.
Jason, seriously,
like,
it's fine. It's not
the,
no, sir. No. And just like, we were,
so every time he messed up at a game, Brian and I would send Kent 100 texts. Kent, by the way, is on the field, like filming.
Yeah, he's like literally working at the game, and we're just being obnoxious about it.
Yeah. Sir. I have to
no,
be
you were in the
sir.
Right camp. We're just
he wasn't like that, but there were guys that were. I won't say who, but that's definitely a thing that still exists in the NFL.
Intellectually, that you're right, and that you were there, and you have all the evidence, and I have none of the evidence. But I think you're wrong. I think he was like that. I submit that you have you. I could never prove that, and you're right. But I just have it's in my soul. I know he was that guy. Does that make sense? But you're right.
I'm excited for Kevin James as Sean Payton. I mean, I'm beating around the bush here, guys. Like,
man, that's a tough.
That's all
one.
We have to say. Yeah. Kevin James, the NFL.
Do we get Ray Romano
drama.
As Greg Williams or no?
Who's playing Scott Fajita?
You know,
that's the big question to me.
The third
that's
G in Greg Williams about. Is for genius.
Yeah.
Scott Fajita would be a good one.
Patton Oswalt as Drew Brees. It's to bring the whole gang back.
Yeah. Jerry Stiller as the AD at Liberty.
Oh, come on. Nay, that's too soon.
Oh, well, hologram Jerry Stiller.
Yeah, we can do Bernie style. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, Kent, when Kent said this story to us today, I was like, could Sean Payton put out a bounty on the producers of this movie? Like, how pissed is he today? Like, really? Maybe Kevin James? I know I'm not like freaking Bautista or something, but come on. Like
Kevin James. Yeah, it's not very flattering. It's like the it's who just, would play you in a movie on. Thing. You're always like, maybe, you know, Brad Pitt, somebody like that. Literally, Billy Bean got Brad Pitt to play him in a movie.
Yeah,
Sean Payton's literally Kevin James.
Real shot across the bow there. That's tough. Also, Sean Payton's funnier than Kevin James. So there's, yeah, you know, that's there's true. That too. Like,
I thought
they should cast Frank Caliendo as everybody and make it.
They did say Kevin James is going to get down to 260 for the role, so that helps.
Well, cool, thanks.
Yeah, very. It's called Home Team. It's the name of the thing. I don't think they won anything. Spoiler alert. So this is going to be a story about, I guess, him connecting with his kid and then going back to the NFL and not winning anything after that. So I don't know the end. By the way, I love Sean Payton. One of the great people I've ever interacted with. Shot him for a documentary at the Combine and spent a little bit of time with him. So funny. I asked him a lot about this because I told him, I said, yeah, I knew Liberty. You know, I went there and we talked a lot about that. And he was so nice, so cool about it. But it's exactly what you said, Brian. It's, you get a call one day, hey, we cast the movie. It's Kevin James. And now you just imagine his face like, oh my God, you know, he's like, such a nice guy, so deserving and done a lot for a lot of people, I guess. And it, you know, really truly has. And, that's not a good way
and
to be portrayed.
Cast as unfunny guy who also is just a total D-bag about everything. Like, yeah. Come on. I mean, everybody, I always say this, but like every celebrity is a jerk. Like, you should just expect them all to be a jerk. But the stories that you hear on Kevin James, it's like, even by that standard, like, this guy sucks. So I'm sure he's thrilled about it. But I mean, I'm sure he's getting a check out of it. So who cares? But still, like, man, I'd be a little bummed. I'd be like, can we revisit that? Is there an option?
So if you guys want to meet Kevin James, just hang out around Argyle, Texas for the next 3 months. I'm sure they're going to be shooting as soon as school is up. They're going to be shooting at the school. Okay.
Sorry. It was between Kevin James and Kevin Smith. So we did the best we could. Sean, why was it between those
two? Sean buys a Peloton immediately.
By the way, here's what I said.
Something different, man.
Here's somebody I legitimately thought of, like, who could play Sean Payton in a movie. I was like, maybe Jeremy Renner, somebody like that. Yeah. And I looked it up and I was like, but I don't think he's old enough. And I looked it up. Did you guys know Jeremy Renner is 50 years old?
He's been around a lot longer 50? Than you think he has.
I would have guessed like 38. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and that was like on the old side in my mind. Mm-hmm. 50. Yeah,
He's been around the block a little bit.
And somebody points out, like, Paul Rudd's 52. Yeah, but yeah, Paul Rudd, I've been watching Paul Rudd since 1994. I don't feel like I've been watching Jeremy Renner.
But he drinks the blood of infants to stay young, clearly.
Yeah, he's evil.
50 years old. I never. So, yeah, that, I guess it proves my point. Jeremy Renner would have been perfect. But, yeah, he's got some weird stuff going on the side. It's probably.
He does.
Probably something to do with it. All right, one more.
He's got to make music for Jeep commercials, you know? He's busy.
So, yeah, this movie will be coming to Netflix, so maybe we'll be doing an episode on it at some point, and it'll be the draft day of 2023.
I'm going to talk crap about Liberty the whole time, though.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah,
remember when they were, like, we were not good in football my senior year? They were pretty good, and then we beat them last game of the season again because Bowles just went off. That's a movie.
Yeah.
Bowles did, like, I don't
he
know
did
what
so,
supplement.
Yeah, so some a lot of supplements and
the
that's
film
a movie.
Of that game,
yeah.
Ryan, like, I would pay
what if one man,
dollars.
He was 145 pounds. He got himself so jacked up that he played nose tackle and took on an entire team.
Dude, not kidding. He single-handedly won that game and it was incredible. He forced like four fumbles in the backfield, just I don't know, on God knows what. What a legend. That so, was the that game tape yeah. legit got me hyped. I remember that. I was like, man, Bowles. What an icon.
It was so funny. All right. Well, one more thing I wanted to point out that's coming to Netflix before we hit weekly recommends here is I'm surprised this hasn't happened in the past. And we got some comments on the Discord about it as well that it hasn't happened. A Gundam movie, a live action Gundam movie is happening from Jordan Vaught Roberts, who did Kong Skull Island, will be doing this for Netflix. And so, yeah, basically what this is, if you don't know what Gundam is, it's like, you know, mecha robots, kind of like Pacific Rim, but it's its own brand, I guess. And this was a huge series when I was growing up. Gundam Wing was kind of in the anime scene. And I thought this would be an awesome movie for a long time because it's giant robots fighting. And, you know, Transformers kind of, you know, started out good and then flamed out. I've thought, like, with the right maybe director or story or production that this could be something great. It's got a huge appeal internationally. I mean, you go to Japan, last time I was over there, I mean, it's everywhere still. I mean, Gundam is huge over there. And so, yeah, there's certainly a market for it, and I'm excited for this. But what I'm kind of curious about is that Netflix is doing it because it sounds like a big budget thing that like seems perfect for a theater. So hopefully it gets theatrical distribution at the same time, because I want to see this on IMAX. Gundam, yeah, sure. Gundam live action movie sounds pretty cool for old, young preteen Kent. I would have loved to watch that one. Nice. And 33 year old Kent will watch it too.
yeah. I have very little familiarity with this. Like I know the name and the vague, like, okay, I kind of know what the bit is, but that's it. I don't believe I've ever seen any of this stuff or whatever, but I know a lot of people were very excited about it. So that's Netflix just throwing money around, man. Mm-hmm. Between that and the $600 billion they're shelling mm-hmm. out for Knives Out sequels and stuff. I mean,
yes, let's talk about that real quick.
They're doing well, man. They're doing well.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick. I don't think we ever did talk about it here on the main feed. So Netflix, yeah, they shelled out the money for the rights, $420 million to be exact, for the rights to the next two sequels to Knives Out. Knives Out 2, Knives Out 3. I assume Rian Johnson's finished both scripts. I know
they
finished.
They still have to pay to produce them, right?
Right.
So they have to take on that too.
Yeah, I think. Crazy. So here's how I think it worked out. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I am sure it was like Rian Johnson had the script. He had a cast in mind. He had budgets in mind for each movie. Here's how much each movie is going to cost. And then throw me some too. Throw, you know, Daniel Craig some too on top of that. And so all that combined was $425 million. And it's, you know, I don't know. I guess probably too much. But when you factor in marketing, you know, if you know, Lionsgate or Warner was to try to put this out, they would spend $50 million on the movie and then they'd spend another $100 million on marketing, probably $50 million to $100 million. So it's like, you know, they're probably going to spend that anyway. Netflix has a built-in fan base. They can market this as like the home of Knives Out. Like this is their franchise now, which will be cool. And I also saw, which we talked about this on text. I said, I bet Rian Johnson just straight up pocketed half of this. And it came out later that Daniel Craig got $100 million and Rian Johnson got $100 million. So that leaves $225 million to make the movies, which is plenty to make two Knives Out movies, which should cost $10 million each max. You know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I love Knives Out. One of my favorite. I've rewatched that movie so many times since it came out, and I'm always here for original ideas. And I dig Rian Johnson and what he brings to the table, and Benoit Blanc is just a fantastic character. So I'm all here for this. But like, one of the benefits of Knives Out from a production standpoint is that it costs $40 million mm-hmm, to make.
Exactly.
So it made a ton of money. Absolutely. I mean, way more than I assume I gotta look up who Lionsgate was expecting when they put that thing.
It made like $400 million domestically.
Yeah, it made a ton.
It made that much just here.
Yeah. Yeah, it made a I can look up to what it made total, but like yeah, worldwide 311.
There you go.
100 yeah. So 165 here. I mean, that's fantastic. On $40 million for an original property, that's an incredible haul. But that is a lot of money that Netflix is shelling out.
They way overpaid, man.
I'm
sure if Ryan,
we saw that number, I was like, "Are you what?"
Was that the first number they threw out? Because there's no way Ryan Johnson would have been like, "Oh yeah, I'll do these with you, but you're only going to give me $50 million on top of it." No thanks.
Yeah,
screw that.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, good for them. Yeah. Get that money, but holy cow! I mean, that is so much too much money for this.
The thing about Netflix is they have so much money. We've talked about it numerous times. Go listen to our past news episodes when we talk about Netflix a lot. I mean, they're printing money basically. So this is like worth it to them. They're just paying for intellectual property at this point.
Yeah.
Name recognition and all that.
And they've done a poor job. We've talked many, many times, but they haven't really developed their own in-house movies particularly well. And I'm sure they also see part of it as HBO Max came at them hard with like, we are the streaming service for new original movies that you can watch now instead of going to the theater. But then they've sort of backed off of that because they're planning on backing off of it. Sounds like completely by 2022 because they got a lot of pushback from many, many sources because Warner Brothers never does anything correct. Even when they have a good idea, they don't do things correctly, it seems like. But so you know that Netflix was feeling the like, all right, we got an opportunity here, to snatch up some properties that are actually going to be good in addition to performing well, but B, we can grab that market that HBO Max is sort of potentially letting go of and just run with it because we don't really care about putting the movies in theaters beyond making them Oscar eligible, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So, I mean, you get why they do it, but still that number feels like four times too big, like maybe even more. I mean, that's just a huge, huge number.
Right. If they had said Netflix acquires the rights to them for $200 million, I'd been like, whew, that's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's twice that. More than twice that. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Crazy. All right. Before we get out of here, guys, let's hit a quick weekly recommend.
Weekly recommends.
Brian, what you got this week?
Recommend a series on Netflix. We just talked about Netflix. I'll keep the thread. Did you guys ever watch Last Chance U, the football series?
Yeah, I watched two seasons of it out of the... Okay. What are there, four?
I think that's right. I did too. I watched the first season and I started the second season and I hate the coach so much. Like he just was...
Yeah.
The epitome of everything that you hate about bad coaches and... You know, people that ruin sports for everyone. I stopped. I couldn't do it. But they just started a basketball series, and they just put out the first season of it. I think like 2 months ago, a month ago, something like that. Anyway, Last Chance U basketball. It is about the East LA junior college basketball program, and it's fantastic. I think both of you guys would love it. And the coach he's the opposite of the football coach that was in that. I mean, he's fiery and he's like super into it and he goes at his players really hard. But he actually like you can tell legitimately cares about the kids. He's there for. Obviously to win, but for the right reasons as well. And all of these kids, with it being a JUCO, you know, all these kids are coming in for like 1 to 2 years max, and almost all of them are there because of academics or attitude or some sort of off the court incident type thing. And so that's what all of them, it's this kid Joe Hampton, who I remember from his like recruit, like his he because he played at Oak Hill Academy, Richard, like 5 or 6 years ago, something like that. And he was like a very highly recruited basketball player, but went to Penn State, got injured, and then got into a bunch of trouble and stuff. Another kid who probably would have been a top 50-ish recruit in the country, but he couldn't get his grades, you know, things like that. And so all these kids have like real stakes on the line, in addition to they're trying to win a title and this coach has been at this program for several years, and he's like resurrected this school from having like absolutely no basketball presence or legacy to a perennial contender that just hasn't ever pushed it over the top and actually won and stuff. Anyway, it is fantastic. It's great. It's great TV, the drama of it. And it takes place, not to be spoilery or give anything away, but it's the 2019-2020 season. So as their season is coming to a close is like when COVID is hitting and stuff. And it's,
how did
so
that turn anyway, out? That was no big deal, right?
Yeah, it wasn't.
They continued on and won the championship.
Yeah, it's a hoax, it's, right?
Yeah,
I think we all agree.
yeah. It's, I mean, great needle drops as well. Great, cool. All the kids. You're just like super. I mean, you know, I've worked with kids forever, and like all of these kids, I just want to be like, can somebody please just hug this guy? Like, right. you're just dying for like, can you just please make one right decision? Can you please not sabotage yourself? It's just. Anyway, and I love the coach. All three of the coaches on the staff were just, to me, were like everything that's right with coaching. Again, just like the opposite of the football guys. Anyway, loved it. I think you guys really dig it. I'm sure. I think it's kind of a hard knock situation. I don't think you need to be a big basketball or sports fan to enjoy the series. Yeah, exactly. My wife does not care about sports at all, but she wants to watch Hard Knocks every year because it's, you know, it's super interesting from a human interest standpoint, and it's similar here. So anyway, check that out. Last Chance U on Netflix.
Awesome. What you got, Arby?
I've got, you know, more basketball content between that. Brian's recommend, mine recommend, and Space Jam. B-ball heavy episode. I've got a podcast, a kind of mini series called Death at the Wing. Nice. Have you heard about this? It's from Adam McKay's company. It's about, you know, basically the cultural, it's sort of a macro look at the culture around basketball in the late 70s, early 80s, and then kind of all the way through the 90s, really, with Len Bias dying, with a lot of NBA players and cocaine and a lot of the culture around that, the war on drugs, everything. So it's a really interesting narrative podcast. There's, I think, three episodes up now, and it's great. It's super fun. It does a great thing of, you know, the Adam McKay trick of taking sort of heavy stories and making them really accessible. I'm kind of excited that he's in this narrative podcast game because he has the right tone for it. Mm-hmm. I think it also sets as a good counterpoint because he's also making this HBO show about the Showtime Lakers. So kind of an interesting B story to do what else was happening in the NBA outside of the Celtics and Lakers during that time. So really interesting. Again, kind of like what Brian said, is more of a human interest narrative than really sports, but around the world at sports and using sports really as a lens to look at society at large during that time. So, and honestly, in society now all the way through. So Death at the Wing from 3 Uncanny 4. It's a podcast. You can get it wherever you get podcasts. And I'm assuming you know where to get those because, you know, you're listening to this. Kent, what about you?
Yeah, side recommend for that. I don't know if you guys have listened to it, but I wanted to recommend it to you guys. Have you heard the new pod we're doing on The Athletic, Shattered?
Dude, it's terrible. No, I'm kidding. Just immediately dunk on your, no pun intended. No, I haven't. It's on my queue. I'm excited. I'm going to listen to that. I'm excited.
Yeah. So the company I work for, I do only NFL, and I do one NBA show, the Mavericks show for us. But the NBA team has done a narrative show about the downfall of the Knicks for the past 20 years. So, you know, basically, you know, the late 90s into the Knicks to Phil Jackson, Kristaps Porzingis, trying to get LeBron, a bunch of interviews, stuff like that. Chuck D is the narrator from Public Enemy. Cool. So check that out.
Gosh.
I think there's an episode a week for the next 4 or 5 weeks or something like that. So check that out if you like basketball podcast content. It's called Shattered on your podcast platform of your choice. It's a sports heavy podcast, I guess. I'm going to recommend a sports documentary that I recently watched. I talk about more in our throwback this week. We're doing All the President's Men. So if you like that movie, All the President's Men, we go in depth there, but I talked a little bit about how I've been on a little chess kick lately because I grew up playing, and I'll go back and watch documentaries or play a little bit every now and then when I get some free time. And I hadn't seen this documentary and finally got around to seeing it. It's called Game Over, Kasparov and the Machine. And it's about Garry Kasparov and his, I guess, playing against the IBM computer Deep Blue in the late 90s. And it was this big event where the grandmaster of chess for the past 20 years was going to play against the computer. And it was truly going to be the first, you know, real Turing test of can machine beat man at, you know, I guess the most intellectual task, I guess, at that time, you know, because that was, I guess, something hard to replicate. And I didn't understand, you know, I thought like my iPhone could just beat a grandmaster in chess, you know, because of how powerful computers are. But I didn't understand how many variations of chess there are, how many different variations of every move, every game, every possibility of every move, that it's hard for even like supercomputers to calculate. And so it took IBM years to make this machine. And you know, the grandmaster went and faced it in basically like a world championship match, like six games against this computer. Fascinating documentary. I don't want to give it away, but it gets kind of controversial what the match does and some of the circumstances around it, but it's really good. It's called Game Over, Kasparov and the Machine. There's a book about it too. I'm not sure what it's called, but just look up Deep Blue versus Garry Kasparov. It's a very, very fascinating, I don't know, wormhole to go down, Wikipedia wormhole, if you want to do that. But it needs to be a movie. It really does. It needs to be like a movie. Somebody needs to play him. I think Oscar Isaac or somebody should play him. And it's got, there's some elements that are like, I don't know, some great, great movie moments could happen in the movie. They did a movie a couple of years ago with Tobey Maguire, where he was Bobby Fischer. Did you see that one? Pawn Sacrifice. Did you guys ever see that?
Didn't
one?
See it, but I remember it being out.
Yeah,
there.
That one was good. That one was good. But yeah, man, Queen's Gambit. Now's the time for chess content. We need it. Let's bring it on. So that's my recommend is that doc. And nice. That's a fun one if you're into that kind of thing. All right. This has been the news, rumors, rumblings roundup for this week. Maybe we'll be back next week if things happen. Who knows? But in the meantime, check out our Discord, madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP to sign up for that and get all those throwbacks and AMAs and all those bonus episodes we always mention on here. And that's free of charge when you sign up for the Discord. Also, we're excited next week to maybe be joined by a special guest to talk about an Oscar-related movie. We'll tease that. That'll be the teaser. But until then, we'll see you soon, hopefully, at the cinema. Goodbye.